Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another beautiful night at Target Field. And it saw your Minnesota Twins start a three-game series versus the defending World Series champion, Boston Red Sox. And a Red Sox team coming into Minneapolis with a five-game winning streak. And in a game that saw very few runs, the Red Sox got the jump on the Twins early and got the win 2-0 to start the series. This is Final Pitch here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I am your host, Henry Lake, and we're taking your phone calls at 651-989-9226. Get your thoughts, get your opinions, get your reaction to tonight's ball game here at Target Field with the Twins losing 2-0 to the Boston Red Sox. And it was an awesome night to be here. We didn't get the result that we would have liked, but what a pitching duel we had tonight between Jose Barrios and Rick Porcello. Both guys were absolutely phenomenal. Jose on the evening, and this is just as good as you're going to get. He goes 8 innings, gives up 5 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, no walks on 109 pitches. Sensational performance by Jose. And as he left after the 8th inning, he had a standing ovation. And it was much deserved. I thought that he pitched his butt off tonight. He absolutely was dealing. Now, on the other side, Rick Porcello was good himself. He goes 7 innings, gives up 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts on 94 pitches. And when you look at Jose and what he did tonight on the mound, in that first inning, that's where the Red Sox got their run off of him. That was the only time that they essentially could touch him up. So outside of that first inning, he was lights out. He was amazing. He was every bit the look of a ace of your staff. So props to him. I know that you know he doesn't get a win tonight and loses the ball game, but my goodness, man. That young kid was absolutely grinding and giving. What do you want your starting pitchers to do? Give your team, give his teammates every opportunity to win a ball game, and that's what he did tonight. Porcello was really good for the Red Sox. And look, I know that I heard this a couple of times from a few people, and it wasn't people in the press box. It was a few fans talking about Porcello and how he's been this year and all that. Look, a lot of pitchers that aren't necessarily having their best seasons can turn on the switch. They can flip the switch. Porcello is a damn good pitcher. Like, he still has good stuff. So for anybody out there that thinks that this guy is some sort of chump all of a sudden, no, this guy's a damn good pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. All right, but the big story of, I think, what people want to take out of this game, and we'll get plenty of reaction if you want to weigh in on it. I saw plenty of reaction on Twitter and social media, and the questions were asked both in the clubhouse and also of Rocco postgame, is about the Polanco bunt. Okay, and it's 651-989-9226 if you want to hop in and if you have a particular take on what transpired and what went down. So just to go back to that bottom of the 8th inning, okay, and you're trailing 1-0. Scope gets a base hit, okay? Then Kepler walks. So now you've got runners on first and second with nobody out. And Polanco, who's phenomenal, okay? And you're talking about, you know, leading hitter and all this other stuff. Just he's been off the charts, okay? He should be an all-star, okay? That's we all acknowledge that. He's at the plate with runners at first and second, and there's nobody out. And he has the sacrifice bunt. But then in the postgame, he did say that he stated that he was bunting to try to get a hit, but also he was trying to advance the runners, which he did. Okay? So he advanced the runners. You've got second and third with one out. And now you've got Nelson Cruz up at the plate, and you've got Eddie Rosario next. There are a lot of people that have a flat-out issue with the decision by Jorge to bunt. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring David Josephson into the conversation here because I think that we may differ in our opinions about what took place there. But for the record, I did not have an issue with Jorge Polanco bunting in that situation. Look, I know we could sit here and we can talk about going into the game with a .332 batting average, and we know how clutch he's been, and we know how much of a phenomenal hitter he is, okay? And him being the MVP of this team in the first half of the season. But I trust Jorge Polanco, and in that situation, second and third, and you need a hit from someone, okay? I had no issue with Cruz or Rosario, them being on the clock to come up clutch. That's just the way that's the way I look at it. I know that there will probably be plenty of people that will disagree and say, no, Polanco's got to just go ahead and just sit. But think about it like this. If he gets out and it's not a productive out, the entire conversation is probably flipped, right? Or is it? Maybe I could be wrong in that regard. DJ, what was your take on that situation there in the eighth?
Well, obviously, it's easy to, you know, look back now and say, oh, he should have done this or should have done that. But when Polanco bunted there, my initial reaction was it didn't sit quite right with me. And I think part of that is because I think about the success of this twin season and all year, what have the Twins done? They've been hitting the ball out of the park. They've been hitting the ball to the fence. They've been scoring runs, hitting home runs, and doing that at an outstanding pace. And that's been the way that they've won. And we've talked about this, that you never count the Twins out because the bats have been so good this year. And in that moment, I wanted the Twins' best hitter to do what the Twins have done best this year and hit a double, hit a home run, and go for it right then. So it bothered me a little bit that he would bunt. Now, I actually was less bothered by it after I heard the postgame remarks where it was revealed that Polanco did that on his own. It was not a decision based on, you know, the statistics or metrics or whatever from the dugout. It was his own decision. It bothers me less because of that, but I still would like to see in that situation your best hitter do what he does better than anyone in the league and put the ball in play in a place that's going to score one or two runs for the Twins.
Okay. All right. 651-989-9226. What do you guys think? Where do you side in terms of the decision tonight? Look, we don't, for the record, I don't think that we have a controversy here. Like, I know that some people will want to view it that way. Some people will have the, can I call it fake outrage? I mean, no one should be outraged by the Twins losing a game against the defending World Series champions, right? I mean, 2-0. It was a phenomenal pitching performance by both teams. And it's nothing to be, you know, to be upset about. It's nothing to lose sleep over. It was something that occurred. There are a lot of decisions that will happen over the course of a Major League Baseball season, and I quite honestly, I'm not in my feelings about that decision tonight. I had no issue with what Jorge did because I trust him. I trust that he's going to make a good decision, and I don't necessarily think that it was a bad decision. Now, with all of that being said, when Rocco was asked about it, Rocco did, in offering up his opinion and his thought on it, it seemed to me as though he would have preferred if Jorge not bunt. Okay, that's and he didn't say that directly because he supported Jorge in his, you know, in him and what he did, and he's going to have his players' backs. And I think that that's the main reason why he probably has a good rapport with his players, and the players have been so good this year, is that they do have the freedom, okay, that they aren't locked into having to do this or that, okay? I think that that's one of the great assets to this team this year, and I think that that's the reason why they've been so successful. But I had no problem with it. All right, but let's hear from you guys, because I know that this is something that has been talked about and people are kind of, you know, wanting to get their opinion in there about everything that took place tonight. 651-989-9226. Let's start with Dean and Excelsior. What's up, Dean?
How you guys doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. How are you?
That's good. Me too. I was at the game night. Beautiful night for a game. There's no question that was the right thing to do. You have Cruz coming up. You have Rosario both hitting the heck out of the ball. Boston pitchers keeping the Twins at bay all night. You put two runners in scoring position, not one. It doesn't matter if it's Polanco or it's Babe Ruth. You move those guys over. You don't wait for a home run in every circumstance. I was more concerned until I heard the scoop play. It looked like scoop. If that truly was a hit and run, or they're moving.
You talking about when scope was moving on contact?
Yeah. It didn't look like he was moving on contact, and that looked like bad base running for a while. But I think both things were explained, and that's just baseball tonight. That's what happened.
Yep. Thanks for the phone call from Dean Excelsior. Yeah. Scope was moving on contact. I mean, that was a very unfortunate play where, you know, he ends up getting caught up in the rundown there. And Kepler not going to third. I guess he thought that maybe there was an opportunity for Jonathan to get back to third base, but I didn't see that at all. But, you know, getting back to just what he said about he had no issue with Jorge, I think if you're a Twins fan, ask yourself this question. Do you trust Polanco or not? And if you say that you trust him, okay, that you trust your best offensive player, then you have no problem with that decision then. That's just the reality of the situation. And on top of that, Nelson Cruz, he's a professional. He's a vet. He can get a hit, right? Eddie Rosario, he's had clutch hits. He can get a hit too. So for us to put a lot of this on Jorge or those people out there that are upset about that particular bunt, I just don't see it. I'm not going to get overly worked up about it.
So
go ahead.
Well, if the point you're trying to make is about trusting Polanco, which I agree with, I mean, he's proven to be trustworthy this year, would it have bothered you if Rocco would have made that decision and told Jorge to bunt even if he wasn't going to?
Would I have been upset if Rocco told him to?
Yeah.
But Rocco wouldn't tell him to because Rocco trusts his play. That's just his managing style. That's his leadership. Like, that's what he's not going to tell them. He's given them, from day one until now, that's the freedom that he gives his players. So we could create that scenario, but that's not a real scenario because that's not how Rocco manages.
There's times where Rocco puts on a play, whether it's a bunt or a hit and run or a contact play like we saw tonight. I mean, that happens, and that could happen throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would have no issue with Rocco in that scenario. But I guess when the questions come up, every single time a question about a particular play has occurred like that this year, what has Rocco's response been every time? I trust my player. And no, I did not call that. I mean, that's what he said every single time. That's essentially what he's been saying for the majority of the season. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Rocco's not going to, you know, put out some particular call. I mean, he's the manager of the baseball team. So I would have no issue with that whatsoever. All right, 651-989-9226. If you have an opinion, you have a thought, please give us a call. Before we're done, we're going to have our All-State Good Hands play of the game. And we'll also hear from your starting pitcher, who was phenomenal tonight, Jose Barrios. He was so damn good. And that was such a good start that you hate to see a guy lose a game like that tonight. But we'll take more of your phone calls coming up next year on Final Pitch on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, back here at Target Field, it is Final Pitch here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Taking your phone calls at 651-989-9226. Twins lose tonight to start the series against the Boston Red Sox. And Boston's playing good baseball right now. And they know they have to, right? Who are they looking up at in the division when it comes to the AL East? The Rays and the Yankees. So they don't have the cushion that we have, and that's not any excuse. We got to play good baseball, but this is a team that's they're a little bit more desperate than the Twins are right now, and they're a good ball club. They got good offensive players, And I know that they're not playing to the level that they played at last year, but they still got some talent on that roster. All right, let's head back to the phone lines, and let's start with the phone call from Karen in Minneapolis. What's up, Karen?
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Henry. It's really great to talk to you. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I was just calling. I kind of have a pet peeve about baseball, and it's swinging on the first pitch. And I know we've got a lot of good hits this year doing that. So
yep.
That, you know, as long as we get a hit on it, I'm okay.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you on that.
Yeah, but I can think of a couple examples. Maybe a week ago that we had one man on. It was the bottom of the ninth, and we were down by one run, and Rosario came up and swung at the first pitch, and then Sano swung at the next three, and, you know, that was it. So
yep.
It just really grinds my gears. And then tonight now, too, Castro, he only took two pitches. And I would like to see him take more pitches when it's at a critical part of the game like that.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up a great point, though, Karen, because quite honestly, I have felt the same way in certain spots. So I'm with mm-hmm. you on that. And I don't want to – And me and you are probably thinking along the same lines in that we don't want the guys to not be aggressive because I
right.
think that is one of our strengths right now. But at the same time, you want to, you know, be in a position where you're going to have the good quality at bats. And at times, it seems, especially with Miguel, Miguel's got to stop mm-hmm. striking out so much, but we got to get more quality at bats out of him.
Yes, we do. I agree completely. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was at the game Friday and Saturday, and they were both great games. So
absolutely.
But I really enjoy hearing you talk about the baseball after. I love baseball. So.
Well, thank you so much. And calling in,
right.
please.
Enjoy your evening.
All right. You too. Take care.
Thank
All right.
You.
That's Karen in Minneapolis calling in. Call again. I'd love to hear from Karen as well, because she did bring up a couple things that I have been. She said it grinds her gears. There's been some at-bats where I've looked, and I'm like, okay, we'll – Let's just fall back a little bit because we're a little bit too aggressive and it seems like we're not having the quality of bats. Let's go to North Branch and talk to Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
I didn't catch the first part of the show, so I might have missed it. Might be redundant, but the Polanco bunt situation—that's just good, sound, fundamental baseball. The question is the right person in the slot doing it? That would be the squabble with some people. But you want to get, we've got first and second, you got a double play situation. You got to eradicate that. So we move the runners to second and third. The second thing it does, it repositions the defense. They're going to play in a step. There's a potential for them to cut the runoff at home and keep the one run advantage. So then with them coming closer to the plate or repositioning, they may not shift the same. And all of a sudden you get the potential for a easier are the following people who notoriously hit the ball hard to put the ball through the infield, and you're getting two runs instead of one. So it's just good fundamental. It was a fundamental move, but you got the guy with the best batting average in baseball doing it. So that's where you're going to get your question. But
absolutely. In the scenario, and I agree with everything you just stated, but the way you just laid it out, there was no issue with that bunt attempt, right?
Not in my opinion.
Not in mine either. And the only reason why I think that in many Twins fans' minds is because of the guy that's at the plate, like you mentioned already. That like
sure.
That's the reason why, because the guy's been so good. But fundamentally, look, this is not just a one-man wrecking crew. This has been a team that has had great chemistry, and so many guys have been a part of the Bomba squad. So if Nelson Cruz gets a hit right there, if he gets a single and he scores two runners, we're not talking about this. If Rosario at least drives in a run himself, then we're not talking about I had no issue with the decision, and that's just me.
Well, the key that most people don't understand is in the details of it, you need to reposition that defense. If they've got the runners not in scoring position, first and second, they can play a strategic defense position that they can't play with runners in scoring position. And if they change, if they move closer to the plate or they can't shift the same, there's a much better chance for everybody following in the lineup to get the power hit through the infield. I mean, you move an infield in, you got a much better chance of dropping one over them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no question. Thanks for the phone call from Tom in North Branch. I appreciate the phone call. 651-989-9226. Let's talk to Adam in Edina. What's up, Adam?
Hey, good evening, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate it.
I've got to, so I have to agree on the Polanco bunt. I mean, from my perspective, this is a game where runs are at a premium. The Twins have struggled to really get a lot going on offense, and you have a chance to move the two runners into scoring position where either a sac fly ties the game or a base hit to the outfield sends the go-ahead run to the plate, and you're three outs away at that point from closing out a win in a hard-fought game. And so yep. I think irrespective of who has the bat in their hands, I think it is the right strategic call for Jorge to lay it down and move the guys up and make Boston make a play as well. You never know if they throw the ball around a little bit. So I liked it a lot and felt like I feel like he has earned the trust of us as fans and it was the right move.
Yep. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it, Adam. 651-989-9226. Coming up next, one of my favorite callers. Let's talk to Carol in St. Paul.
Hi.
Are you apologizing to me, Carol?
No. In fact, I have a...
You cussed me out on Friday.
Sorry to tell you.
You cussed me out on Friday. Well, you didn't cuss me out, but you cussed on the air.
I was at the ballpark all the time, it seems like. But anyway, yesterday I was at the ballpark, and when I was leaving, you know, I'm walking out, wasn't talking to anybody, nothing, absolutely nothing.
Had you had the drinks?
One of the ushers walked by. She was pushing somebody in a wheelchair, and she stopped, and she said, are you the person that calls that poor guy on the radio and hassles him? Honest to God. I said, well, yeah, but why would you ask me? Because she hadn't heard my voice.
You had a sign on your you were wearing a sweater. You were wearing that shirt that says I am the crazy caller that hassles Henry on Newstalk 830 WCCO after Twins games.
It was very weird. It was just very, very, very strange. I thought you'd get a bang out of that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, hold on. Had you been let me ask you this. Friday night. You were happy, okay? You were happy. You were happy about the win. You were very excited. Let me put it that. Mm-hmm. Had you had a couple cocktails out here at Target Field?
I don't drink. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. It's all good. Nope. Before I let you go, go ahead. I know that this is Monday. We said we would chat on Monday, and you said that you would talk about Jake. And what do you want to say about Jake now?
He was really good. He was really, really good. You know, gave up, what, a run or something. His ERA went up a little bit, but he was good. He was very good.
If Jake Odorizzi ends up winning a Cy Young this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I'm wondering if he should. I mean, at this point, he certainly should.
Are you going to get his jersey if he does that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm converting you, Carol.
Yep. Were you at the game on Saturday?
I was not, because remember I had mentioned that unfortunately I had to attend a funeral.
Yeah,
I had a funeral on Saturday, so I was not able. I was paying attention, and I did follow up and catch the game, but I was not able to actually be here in person.
Well, you know, there's two things that stood out to me in that ceremony that they had. One of them was when those back doors opened up, and Oliva and who is this? Bly Levin, Tom Kelly, Tony, Rod Carew, and Herbeck came out. I mean, that was just like breathtaking.
It's interesting because I happened to Friday as I was eating dinner before the pregame on Friday night, sitting at the table with Tom Kelly, and man, that guy he can spin a lot of stories. I tell you.
Oh, I bet.
I bet. Yep. Thanks for the phone call, Kira. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Bye now.
All right. We got one more final segment here on Final Pitch. We're going to take a phone call from Larry and Egan. We'll take a phone call from Charlie in Minneapolis. You're also going to hear from starting pitcher Jose Barrios, and as well as we'll get to the All-State play of the game. We'll get to all of that coming up here in the final segment of Final Pitch. Twins, unfortunately, lose tonight 2-0, but we're not overly concerned with that because we know how good the baseball team has been, and we know that we're back at Target Field tomorrow for another game against the Red Sox. Final segment coming up next here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. All right, the final segment here, Final Pitch on Newstalk 830 WCCO. It's not the final time that we'll talk Twins tonight. We're actually going to talk Twins in the first segment after we're done here on Final Pitch. in regards to the All-Star balloting and all of that. We'll start late night with some Twins, also get to some Twins at the top of the hour at midnight. But we got plenty of other things that we'll talk about as well from the next segment until 1 o'clock. But this segment, we're talking Twins at 651-989-9226. Unfortunately, lose tonight 2-0 to the Boston Red Sox. A pitching duel. It was a phenomenal performance by both Jose Berríos and Rick Porcello. They both were just spectacular. Jose just, he was the man tonight. He goes 8 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, no walks on 109 pitches. Porcello, 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts on 94 pitches. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's check in with Larry and Egan. What's up, Larry?
Hey, you know, great game tonight. Great pitching. But this is what happens when you play the East. They have great talent.
Uh huh.
And if you want to go in, if you want to go to the World Series, you got to get through.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You kind of cut out there for a second. Can you repeat that last part?
I said, if you want to the East, you got to go through the New Yorks, the Bostons, and you got to beat those teams.
How about how we did against Tampa?
Yeah, Tampa. Yeah.
Tampa's ahead of, they're ahead of Boston in the East.
Yeah, I know, but
We faced some good teams this year. We faced Tampa and we got the better of them. We faced Houston and got the better of them. So it's not as though. And look, I'm with you. When it comes to the road of getting to the World Series, yeah, you gotta do battle with the Red Sox. You gotta do battle with the Yankees. So yeah, your point is valid. But I'm not gonna look at it and feel like the Twins have played nobodies.
No. I don't disagree.
Yeah,
but this is the battle we got to face.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And we got to beat those teams. And as I said in the past, pitching.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Larry. And Larry, look, I got no dispute with Larry. This is the bottom line is when it comes to he brings up the AL East, we have had difficulty with those teams. That's just the reality of it. We have had difficulty with those teams. We've had some struggles with the Yankees. We have had some struggles with the Red Sox. We have to get over that hurdle. We have to get over that hump. I have no problem with what Larry and Egan just stated because that's the reality. Those are the facts. We have to do a better job against those teams, those organizations. Let's go to Charlie in Minneapolis.
Yeah, hey. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Charlie. How are you this Monday evening?
I'm doing real good. And
that's good.
I live downtown, so I see lots of jerseys, and you know, so it's good to see the Boston people here in town, and that was pretty cool. And
yeah.
I mean, that's probably the biggest crew I've seen down here for a long time. But I live down here, so I can throw a baseball at your stadium. So
nice. You live right.
I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, it's great. I went to a couple of the Detroit games and that, but I just had a quick question. I don't think we've seen Boston maybe one or two times, right?
No, we haven't seen Boston.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, well, my guess is this, and kind of my prediction is they got a good look at each other, and I think you're going to see some high-scoring games coming up in the next two games. I'll bet you they'll be hitting, you know, 10 runs each or something. It's going to be a good game. I don't know which way they're going to go, but I one player I do miss is Buxton, because that brings me back to the Puckett days, and I wish the Buxton would get back in there, and boy, he can hit, man. And he can hit that wall. He should go into football, man. He's doing a good job. So, but yeah, the pitching was good, and that walk thing was all right. That was all professional stuff, and I'm glad that Rocco's letting him do it. You know, he's the best coach we've had for a long, long time, and so I don't know. I just hope that we do better tomorrow, but that's all I want to share with you. So.
I'm with you. Yeah. I appreciate the phone call from Charlie in Minneapolis, and yes, we do need Byron Buxton to be out there, you know, just holding down the fort in center field. That's our guy. He's – he's such a difference maker, not only defensively, but the speed on the bases and what he's been doing production-wise offensively for this team this year, that's been a plus as well. So there's no question that we need a healthy Byron Buxton to be a part of this team. I do want to ask you this question, though, DJ, because I wasn't surprised at the fact that when it comes to a team that is going to travel well or there's going to be representation, I had no – look, I knew that Boston Red Sox fans would represent, right? When you think about teams that have a lot of fans, you think about the Red Sox, you think about clearly about the Cubs, you think about Yankees fans and all Dodgers fans, all of that, right? But there was something that I saw at the ballpark today that just this can't fly. Okay, this one can't fly. And I told this to Jordana and Paul earlier on their show. There was an individual, I'm assuming that he's a big-time Boston Red Sox fan, right? I was not close enough to see what type of hat he had on. I'm assuming it was a Red Sox hat. But the jersey he was wearing was a Tom Brady Patriots jersey. Your thoughts on that here at this series?
On a fan wearing a Tom Brady jersey to a Red Sox game.
Yep. Here at Target Field.
I guess, you know.
Fair or foul?
Yeah, I don't like Tom Brady, but I would say fair on that.
Okay.
What did you say? I didn't even hear it.
Well, it's weird. I just thought it was weird to see. Like, to me, it would be weird to see a Kirk Cousins jersey at the Trop.
Yeah, it would, but I still think if that's, you know, if you're a Boston sports fan and you're out here supporting the Red Sox and you want to wear a different jersey from...
I just asked if it was fair or foul. You said it's fair.
Fair. Yeah,
okay, all right. All right, let's hear from... He gave an outstanding effort tonight. I think that DJ, you would agree that Jose Barrios was the man tonight, right? He was good.
Yeah, he was great. And I mean, he gets a loss on his record in a game where he pitched, you know, perhaps his best start of the year.
And that's why wins and losses don't matter when it comes to starting pitching in Major League Baseball. And after that first inning, he was nails. He wasn't giving up a thing. Let's hear from him. First, it starts with Jose talking about adjusting after the first inning.
After the first inning, Castro and me did some adjustment with the plan we have against the hitter. We changed a little bit, so I think they're looking for my slider, breaking ball, like whatever they're going to call it. So we changed. We use more fastball and attack them both out of the play.
Jose on pitch selection.
When the games pass, you know, during the game, the lady like fits 6 innings. Then we can use more of the breaking ball, and we got it, like, because they're looking for a fastball, so that's how we need to do adjustment every pitch in this sport.
So the other thing that was interesting to hear him talk about, and I knew that he was going to say this because this shows the competitive nature of these guys, and he wants to compete, he's a competitor. Is when he was asked about the pitcher's duel. And I knew that this was coming, and his eyes kind of lit up a little bit because he's one of those guys that when his teammates are facing another really good pitcher who's got a really good performance going, then he's on it. Like, he's, like, in the fight. He is in the mix. He is in the fight, and he's, like, out there trying to grind. This is Jose on the pitcher's duel tonight.
It's fun. Like, always you're going to go out there and compete. Mostly you want to win, but that's how the game. So it's tough when we lose like game like that, but in the end of the day, we bought it all day, so we have to feel proud of everybody.
All right. Unfortunately, he wasn't on the winning side tonight, but nonetheless, he was outstanding. Let's get to the Good Hands Play of the Game, brought to you by Allstate.
And the payoff pitch. He got him. Strike three called. Betts locked up with a fastball. Boston does not add on. Barrios, brilliant tonight.
Brilliant tonight. He absolutely was, Corey. All right, that's the Good Hands Play of the Game brought to you by Allstate. Are you in good hands. We were in great hands tonight with Jose, but unfortunately, the Boston Red Sox, they were in good hands as well with Rick Porcello, who did a phenomenal job on the for the opposing team tonight. But tomorrow, we're back at it in regards to Twins baseball facing the Red Sox. And tomorrow, it's Michael Pineda facing another really good pitcher, David Price. How about that? You go from Porcello to David Price. So let's see if we can muster up some runs tomorrow night against David Price, 7-10 first pitch. All right, but coming up next, I know that that's going to put a bow on final pitch tonight. But late night, we continue the Twins and Major League Baseball conversation. We get to that next year on News Talk 830 WCCO.